Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.oleole.com. Hope you're well. Hope the snow has melted wherever you are. It's pretty much melted here. Still haven't had a game of football, though. All the football pitches are frozen over, and even when they were unfrozen the other night, the game was called off anyway. Due to, I don't know what, a little bit of rain, I believe. That's how crazy things have gotten here. Little bit of rain, no football. And we're playing on an all-weather pitch, you know. An all-weather pitch. By its very nature, you can play on it in all weathers. Even snow. Of course, trying to find an orange football is the difficult part of playing in snow these days. So I'm dying for a game of football. Haven't had one. Don't know why I'm telling you this, really. But anyway, coming up on this week's show, we have got Gunnar Hollick from GunnarHollick.com, and he'll be along to discuss many things. Not least of which, of course, is the main story, the big story, the weighty story of the week, the return of Arsene's favourite heavy machine, Sol Campbell. He played for the reserves in midweek, and it does look as if he's going to sign a deal till the end of the season, which will provide us some cover and experience in the central defensive area. But worries remain about Sol Campbell. Can he still do it at the top level? Will he be reinvigorated after his 7 or 8 months off, or will he be as rusty as a box of nails that have been left out in the rain? I could probably have thought of a smarter analogy than that, but never mind. You know what I'm talking about. So that to come, as well as Den Nielsen will be here, some poetry from Tony Adams, and the usual waffle looking ahead to the Bolton games. Not just one game against Bolton, two games against Bolton in a matter of days. I think they call that cruel and unusual punishment. I think that's Bolton twice. Anyway, that's all to come between now and the end of the show. Last weekend we played Everton. The game went ahead. It was one of the only games that went ahead last weekend in the Premier League. Fair play to everybody at the club for getting out the burners and burning ice off the steps and making sure that the stadium and the surrounds and the pitch and everything else was ready for a game of football. And I have to say, after about 90 minutes, I was thinking, maybe you shouldn't have worked quite so hard. I mean, it's great and everything, but, you know, we wouldn't be a goal down now and about to lose to Everton. But then, of course, we got that late equaliser through Thomas Rosicki after good work from Diaby, a deflected goal. They all count, don't they? As did Denilson's in the first half. But it wasn't a particularly great Arsenal performance by any stretch of the imagination. Really poor defending for both the goals. The first one, Osman, I don't know, he would only come up to my nipple, I think. Not that I've ever tried, but I guess that's about as far as he'd come up, because he's quite little. And he runs in and gets a free header and puts Everton 1-0 up. Bad defending. Bad organisation. And the second goal, of course, we were 1-1 going on to try and win the game. But there really is no excuse when all your players get caught in their half of the pitch. Because you can see what happens. And Pienaar put the ball over Almunia to make it 2-1. Denilson then had his funny little fainting spell. Had to go off. Very odd incident that, I thought, but thankfully it didn't cost us because Everton played on, which was very sporting of them, having seen a player collapse. And I think it was Vaughan who took a shot, and Almunia made the save, and then they put the ball out, which is very sporting of them. Almunia as well, another very odd performance from him. He looks like a guy who's afraid all the time. Doesn't know where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing. And that fear is transmitting itself. It's like an ooze, oozing over the defence. Does anyone remember this stuff you used to get years and years ago? It was a toy, and it was called slime. And you got it in a plastic kind of a tub thing. And the whole point of it was you just put it somewhere, and it would just make slime and spread out all over a table. And I remember putting it on a table at home when I was much younger, of course. I suppose I was about 7 or 8, and leaving it there and forgetting about it, and it managed to completely suck all the colour out of one part of this particular table. The folks were not best pleased, I have to admit. But that's what Almunia is like. He's like a big piece of slime on our defence, sucking all the confidence and goodness out of them. So not our best day at the office, but nonetheless we kept going, and credit to the lads for showing the spirit to stay in it and to get the late equaliser. And then this week we hear about how we're going to re-sign Sol Campbell. And it's a strange one because, you know, Arsene never goes back and he never signs players of 35 years of age, but he obviously knows that we've got a problem at the centre of our defence in the sense that we don't have any cover worth speaking of. Song is away, Senderos wants to leave, Arsene doesn't particularly want to play Senderos, Sylvester is Sylvester. So an injury to Gallus and Vermaelen, as we've said all along, is going to be pretty much a disaster. But, you know, while Campbell has been training with us, nobody really thought he'd re-sign him. And, you know, you have to ask, can he still do it? Does he have the legs? They must have looked at him, done all the tests, done the fitness. And I suppose you can look at someone maybe, Stephen Carr, who's at Birmingham now, and who retired, completely retired from football, didn't kick a ball for 7 months, and now is playing probably the best football of his career. So maybe a little break won't do him any harm, but we'll have to wait and see whether or not he can still cut the mustard on the pitch. I've got some breaking news now about a transfer. Another transfer. Hang on.
Arsenal Football Club today announced the signing of Ted Drake on a long-term contract for an undisclosed fee. Chairman Peter Hillwood said,
"Ted has got a wealth of experience and he brings an added coldness to the side which will be vital in our quest for trophies this season."
Drake is likely to play this weekend, while the club have denied reports that Egyptian striker Tutankhamun is on his way.
And one of the other things that people have kind of overlooked is that as one gets older, there's a natural widening of oneself. And it's 3.5 years since Sol Campbell left, and he was a big guy then. Let's face it, he was a big man. And now it's going to take opposition strikers even longer to go around him. So it'll give the other defenders more time to get back into position. I'm just trying to look at the positives here. Anyway, to talk more about Sol and all the other bits and pieces that are going on, I'm glad to welcome back to the Arsecast Gunnar Hollick from GunnarHollick.com. Hello there.
Hello there, Blog. Thanks for inviting me again.
You're very welcome. Good to have you back. Now, the place we have to start, obviously, is Sol Campbell. It's the big story of the week. He's on the verge of a return. We can assume, I think, fairly safely that he's coming back to the club. Leaving aside the fact that you're probably delighted that there's a player in the team who's older than you are, what are your thoughts in general on Sol Campbell and his return, having been away and taking into account everything that's happened and the way he left the club, etc., etc.? How do you feel about his return to Arsenal?
I think the strange thing is the kind of uniformity of greeting that it's got, apart from a couple of the obvious places where you knew they were not going to be best pleased. I think by and large, everybody's response has been the same. And it's kind of, well, I don't see that he's got anything to offer at Premiership level when he's not been playing competitively all season, is the negative side that's eating at you. But then there's this other side that says, well, actually, Wenger's seen him in training for the last 3 months. He's obviously worked with the fitness guys and with the coaches, so they've had a long time to form an opinion on whether or not he can contribute something. And I suppose you have to, in the blog I've said, you're going to have to go along with Wenger on his opinion of that. So, you know, it's exactly what you've been saying as well. You can't be outwardly critical of it, because it could be a great idea. We need the experience, there's no doubt about that. But let's hope it comes off anyway.
And I suppose that the main thing, of course, is that we've got a centre half. We needed a centre half very badly. Senderos is out of favour. Silvestre doesn't convince anybody. And then you have to take into account it's January. So maybe if he is looking longer term at bringing somebody in the central defensive area, January is a more difficult time to do it. And we've spoken about the experience, of course, that Sol Campbell has. And you can't really underestimate how important that is in a dressing room, because like I said in the blog yesterday, I think you get the 2007-2008 season when we got into that kind of final part of the season, and without the experience of guys that have been there and done that, we sort of fell apart. So to have a couple of guys like that around with him and with Gallas is no bad thing for the young players.
No, quite right. There's kind of two sides to that point that you've just made. If I address the first one, the six-month contract that we assume is going to be signed, the short-term deal, is kind of making an awful lot of sense, because you do have a couple of young centre-halves coming up at the moment who aren't going to be able to contribute to the first team or at Premiership level, we assume, this season. But he's not going to hold up their development any. They weren't going to play anyway this season, but next season may be their turn. And, you know, he, or who knows, William Gallas may not be around next season yet. But let's worry about that when we get to the summer. So I think in those terms, a six-month deal is a good one. The fact remains, can he do it at Premiership level? Yeah, I know that the experience in dragging us over the line that he's talking about would be fantastic, but he needs to bring two things to the party. One, his legs have not got to be shot. Well, we'll assume that they've had a good look at that over the 3 months in training, and they're not. The second thing, of course, is Arsen is great, isn't he? You hear him every week talking about this, his mental strength and the intelligence. Well, that is the other slight concern that you would have with Sol Campbell, isn't it? Now, if he's coming back and he's mentally strong, then fine. I think we've got ourselves a player who could do a great job. And in fact, if you look at the reasons behind us conceding goals, the biggest one would be from set pieces, balls just lumped into the box. He's the ideal guy to have sitting there. He'll head them out all day. So if you do need him to come in and do a job, that's the job you need him to do. And can he withstand the pressure of a Premiership challenge mentally? I think they've probably come to the opinion that, yes, he's refreshed and he can do it. So that's the positive way of looking at it, I think.
All right. I mean, the other thing as well that we have to, I suppose, discuss is the fact that it marks a little bit of a change for Arsene Wenger in terms of the way he's approaching his squad and the setup of his squad that he has. I don't doubt that the Sol Campbell deal was probably the easiest option for him, in the sense that it was there, he didn't have to go looking for someone, etc., etc. But he has gone back, brought a player back that he had before, which he rarely, if ever, does. Sol Campbell is 35 years of age, and I think that's probably the oldest player we've ever signed, outfield player anyway. Maybe Mark Poom was a bit older when he signed as a goalkeeper. So there's the, not admission, but you're looking at Arsene Wenger thinking, okay, well, maybe I've got to address the balance in my squad, and a bit more experience isn't going to hurt.
Yeah, I think probably there is kind of a precedent. Although he wasn't bringing a player back to the club, I think the deal that brought Davor Šuker to Arsenal, again, that was only he was only ever going to have a year at the club or whatever it was. He was at the tail end of a long career, but we were in desperate need of somebody who could put the ball in the back of the net while we were bringing on, I think at the time, Henri was converting from winger to centre forward. You had Ali Adier, I think, had just signed. We had players who could move into the role but weren't quite finished. And I think this is the reason behind Campbell's 6 months. You've got centre-halves who are possibly ready coming up. And, of course, let's not forget, you've got Juru, who should be fit again come the summer, who is going to be knocking on the door next year. So I think there is kind of a precedent. I think it's a good deal from that respect. But, yeah, you can... Arsene has now opened himself up to criticism. Well, you could have perhaps done a little bit more to keep players like Robert Pires, for example, who I think most people thought we could have done with keeping for a year or two. But what's the point in raking up old news like that?
Indeed. All right. Well, you spoke about putting the ball in the back of the net, and it has been something of a challenge for our strikers anyway. It's not that we're not necessarily scoring goals. And going into the transfer window, I think all the focus was on bringing in a striker because of Bentner's injury and Van Persie's injury. And I'm delighted, of course, that we have done something for the central defensive issue, because I thought that was an area we just couldn't afford to ignore. Nevertheless, Bentner's back in a couple of weeks, but can he get up to speed quickly enough to make an impact in those games, the United, Chelsea, Liverpool and Villa games, which are going to be absolutely crucial? He's a kind of player that needs a bit of a run in the team to find his form, to find his touch. Do you think that he's probably still going to be looking out for a striking option? And given what he's done with Sol Campbell, is it beyond the realms of possibility that he might do another type of Davor Suker deal and bring in somebody on a short-term contract who isn't necessarily going to leave him with tough decisions to make in the summer?
I would say that were entirely possible if I could think who was out there. And the only name I've heard mentioned as a possible in that respect is Thierry Henry.
No.
let's keep it in the realms of reality. I can't imagine for one moment that Henri, who I saw mentioned somewhere, and I can't remember where, forgive me, but I can't think for one moment that if there had been contact or if there was any chance of that happening, it would not now be blazed all over the place. So beyond that, I don't know that there are any great candidates for the short-term deal. However...
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For having said that, the backup to your question, do I think we ought to sign somebody? Then hell yes, you're that close, 3 points off the lead, in the best shape we've been for some time, I think, in terms of a Premiership challenge. I know we're scoring goals, and there are people who say no, don't sign somebody who's going to upset the dressing room morale and all the rest of it. But one thing the old man always said to me, never, ever look back and say you were sorry about not doing something. And I don't want us to get to the end of the season and give people who are anti-Wenger the ammunition to say, look, we said in January you needed to sign somebody to get you over the line. And it's the one thing that I think they've possibly got a point about. I don't want us to get to May and, for the lack of a goal scorer, miss out on the big prize. And I don't think the goal scorer is needed week in, week out, but I do think if you look at the games, and you've just spoken about the four games coming up against Villa, Chelsea, Manchester United and Liverpool, those sorts of opposition, I think we're going to struggle to score against playing that little front line. And I can hear someone say, we got three against Villa at home. Villa away will be a different kettle of fish. And the way that we're playing at the moment will be so dependent, I think, on midfield players coming through to score. They've done a great, great job in adding to the total from the middle of the park. But we can't expect that they're going to go on doing it week in, week out. So, yes, I would like to see the side strengthened, because I don't believe for one moment when Bentner comes back, he's going to be able to play 20, 25 straight games without picking up another strain or a knock. And as you say, it's going to take him time to get back into the swing of things, because contrary to popular belief, in the last 12 weeks, he has not turned into a world-class player. He's going to have to rediscover his touch again. Yeah. So I would certainly go out and buy someone.
Of course, it also allows us maybe to get the best out of Andre Arshavin, who has been struggling, I think, in terms of his own form. I know he scored that goal against Liverpool, and he got a goal against Stoke. But you know, he's 5'5" or 5'6". He's not a central striker, so even by bringing in somebody who can play that central striking role, or who can compete with Bentner, let's say, for that central striking role, it improves us further back and improves our chances, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a couple of options, of course, with Arshavin. Well, three if you include him as a centre forward, but you can play him out wide, or you can bring him back if there's going to be any ongoing problem with Fabregas' hamstrings. I can't think of a better, more creative player to have coming in from behind the centre forward than Arshavin. And I do feel for it, kind of. I see the criticism now starting to creep in, and I think I can't understand people criticising someone who has that sort of talent, who's being asked to do a job that is so obviously very foreign to him. When you've got someone who's 5'4" every week coming up against 6-foot-odd centre forwards, he's not receiving the ball very often in those spaces in behind them, which is where you think he would get the results. He's having to come back and look for it, and playing with his back to goal is probably not his strength. So he's done a great job filling in for us, but for now, I actually think that let's give Eduardo the job. I know Eduardo was struggling for a wee while, but if you look now, he's got, what, 4 goals in 5 games or something like that? I think now is the time to give him that job and let Arshavin come back and do what he's best at.
I would agree with that entirely. Let's go back to Everton very quickly, and good spirit, you have to say, to keep going. The goals we conceded were a worry, and many of the goals we conceded this season have been down to us making mistakes rather than excellent football on the part of the opposition. But I know I'm springing this on you a little bit, but the goalkeeping situation, Manuel Almunia a little bit all over the place again. Is the manager in a difficult position, because Almunia is the captain of the side in the absence of Fabregas? Why is he showing Almunia, or why does he have much more patience with Almunia and his performances over the course of a season than he did with Jens Lehmann, who made two big mistakes and was out of the team as quick as you like?
Yeah, I think we're in a situation where Almunia's problems are probably... Again, we were talking earlier about mental attributes rather than physical attributes. And I think it's a fair guess to say that it's what's happened in his personal life and what happened to his mother-in-law seems to have knocked the confidence out of him. Now, Arsene obviously has come to the conclusion that the only way he's going to get his confidence back is to play. And I think for a while, when he came back against Tottenham and a few games thereafter, I think he did strengthen us a wee bit, but his decision-making seems to be inconsistent at the moment. And I, with what's at stake at the moment, I think I agree with you. I would take him out the firing line. I know there are people who say that he's finished and we should buy a goalkeeper. I think that's being a little bit quick and a little bit harsh under the circumstances. I think the time has now come to perhaps give Fabianski an extended run, because he's getting to the age where you have to make a decision about, you know, whether he's going to be the next number one, or whether we need to bring through Mannone, or whether we need to bring another young goalkeeper in behind. So I would certainly, for now, give Fabianski the job, let Almunia go away, sort out whatever's going on in his head, and then form a decision later once you see whether he's going to come back or not.
Does it say something about Wenger's belief or faith in Fabianski that he hasn't yet given him a chance, or has he got to the end of his tether with Almunia?
No, I don't think so. I think he decided Almunia needed to play to get his confidence back. but we're kind of in a catch-22 situation now where every week he goes out and drops a major clanger. Mm. It's biting us all back in the bum, really, isn't it? He's not going to get his confidence back like that. I would now take him out the firing line for a wee while and then make a decision later on.
All right. Finally, Bolton. We've got two games against Bolton in the space of 3 days. Yes, yes. I think it's the first time we've ever done that, played back-to-back Premier League games against the same opposition. And they've got the whole new manager thing going on. So we're going to be up against a fairly motivated Bolton team who, as we know, are physical. They work hard. They make life difficult for you at the best of times. What do you make of these? We've got Fabregas back, and that's a big bonus for us. Is there any disadvantage or advantage to playing them twice in the matter of days?
I wouldn't have thought so, in all honesty. You're talking about the change of manager. It's going to be very strange playing against Bolton and actually liking the manager. I'm not going to be able to get my head around that one at all. But it's his first two games. He's not going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear overnight. So I don't see them changing what they're good at, basically. It's going to be two tough physical games. I think there's possibly one thing that's going in our favour, and this is going to sound terrible, because I'm a big Danielson fan, but it looks as though Danielson is probably not going to be available for at least the first of the two games after his collapse last week. And I think that gives us the opportunity to put Diaby where I think Wenger has wanted to play him for the last three seasons, but the bugger keeps on getting injured. But him in the holding role, you've then got a little bit of height in there as well, because you know full well that Bolton's main method of attack is going to be to get the ball onto the head of Kevin Davis. And I think given that we are vulnerable in that area, to have the 6 foot Diaby in front of him, even though he's got a head like a thrummy bit, as long as it's bouncing off away from Davies, then that's going to be a help to us.
Oh. All right. Well, we better leave it there. We'll wait and see what happens. I personally see Diaby a bit further forward, but in the absence of Danielson, I don't know that there is anybody else who can do that job. So hopefully he doesn't get too carried away with
himself. The option is Ramsey, but anybody who saw Ramsey at Wolves knows that he's better going forward as well. Yeah. I would sit Diaby back there and have Ramsey alongside Fabregas.
All right then. Gunnar Hollick, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon. Cheers.
Thank you, Blog. Cheers.
Gunnar Hollick's blog can be found at www.gunnarhollick.com. It is, of course, a haven of common sense and a place where you can find polite and interesting discourse, which sets it apart from many other places on this worldwide web of ours. Thank you very much to him, and we'll have him back on the show in the very near future, I'm sure. And now, before we go on, this.
Oh, hello, everyone. It's me again, Dan Nielsen, the Arsenal midfielder. I have to say, on a personal level, the last week has been a bit trying. We had that game against Everton, and 2-2 it was in the end. I found it a bit of a struggle, I have to say, playing against Fellaini. He's so tall. He is good, though, isn't he? You know me, though. I do like the length of his hair. And then late in the game, I was going along, and I got a terrible pain in my side. I had to fall over. I couldn't even handle the ball. I couldn't kick it out of play. Everton nearly scored. The boss gave me a terrible hard time in the dressing room afterwards. He sent me for a scan, and it turns out it was a problem with the appendix. The doctors told me about it before, but even though they do give me gut wrench, they're so delicious.
Now, ahead of the two games coming up against Bolton, one on Sunday and one on Wednesday, the early team news is that Cesc Fabregas is back, which is good news. The captain will be back to lead the side, and we are a different team with him in it, no question about it. As Hollick was saying, there's probably going to be no Danielson, so that'll mean Diaby in the holding midfield role, and maybe the boss has got a decision to make between Aaron Ramsey and Thomas Rosicki for that other midfield place. Ramsey has been playing very well, but again, consistency is the issue with him. He is, of course, only 18 years of age, and maybe he might feel that Rosicky's experience and his creative new might be the order of the day. And of course, Ramsey is still a good option from the bench. He is a kind of guy that can come off and score goals from the bench. He can make an impact, and he's done it in the past, whereas you might look at somebody that we've brought on, like Carlos Vela, without being down on Vela, he doesn't necessarily do an awful lot when he's brought on from the bench. He's got no great pedigree in coming on and scoring a goal, which is why I kind of found the substitution the other week against Everton. Now, I found that a bit strange when he took Eduardo off, but never mind. So that's the early team news. We don't have any more than that. I would like to see, as we were discussing with the Holic there, Fabianski get a chance in goal. I think Almunia has had more than enough chances this season. I think had Fabianski not been injured that time, wasn't it a Carling Cup game? Might have been the one against Liverpool, and he was coming back, and Almunia had just had his episode, whatever you want to call it, and he came back, played the whole game, and then was immediately out for 3 weeks. So I think he missed a chance there to stake his claim in the team, because Almunia was going to be out for some time. Manone took over at that point, or stayed in the team. I can't quite remember the logistics of it. But I think it's about time that Fabianski got a go. And if he turns out to be worse than Almunia, well then, what can you do? You have to say, we have to go spend some money in the goalkeeping transfer market in the summer. Almunia, I think, is not going to be affected by being dropped, because he must know himself that he's all over the place, that he is essentially a shadow of the goalkeeper that he was the last couple of seasons, when he was never going to be a world-class goalkeeper, but he was pretty good, you have to say. That display at Old Trafford in the Champions League semi-final was fantastic, a really good shot stopper, and he was a confident goalkeeper, and the difference, you can see it in his face, he's all over the place. So hopefully Fabianski can get a run in the team, and then you've got a motivated goalkeeper, a guy who knows that if he plays well, he's going to keep his place in the team, and he's young, and you know, he is kind of the future, in a way. So that kind of competition will be good, and I think we really need to address this goalkeeping issue as soon as possible to add at least a little bit of confidence and calmness to our defence. Not that Fabianski's Johnny Cam or anything, but the defenders don't seem as panicky around him as they do Manuel Almunia. So I'm hoping for 6 points out of six from Bolton, as I would do every time. Playing them twice in successive games is unusual. Hopefully we'll be glad to see the back of them, but glad to see the back of them with 6 points in our back pocket. So keeping fingers crossed for a good performance this weekend. We'll have to leave it there. So I'll talk to you all next week on the blog, and of course on next week's Arsecast. Until then, take it easy, cheerio, bye bye.
Hello everyone, Tony Adams here with another poem on the Arsecast. This week my poem is entitled Superman, because it is about Sol Campbell, and Campbell's made soup, and Superman is what they call a play on words. Anyway, it goes a little bit like this. Oh Sol, you used to be their Sol, Sol. Then you left them, and you became one of us. You were our soul. Then you left, and now you're back again. And there's nothing I like more than a fit, muscular arsehole. Soul. Thank you very much.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.